For multiple reasons this morning, before I begin, I want to start with a land acknowledgement. I want to acknowledge that we meet here this morning on Treaty 2 territory, the traditional lands of the Ojibwe and the Dakota Nation, and also that this area is the home to the Métis people. There are a few reasons that I want to start with a land acknowledgement. One, it's true, this is where we are meeting. Two, we are going to be talking a little bit about history today, our history, but also the way forward, and land acknowledgements fit in that. And third, the third Sunday of the month is a Sunday that we are trying to intentionally set aside to thinking about our community. And if we are failing to consider even things like our community's history, our community's conflicts, the areas in which our community needs reconciliation, then we are failing to also consider our community. We have been doing a series this morning, and today is the surprise third Sunday of the series. We were going to have a guest speaker this morning, but they unfortunately had to cancel. So I'm going to start with reviewing the series a little bit. This morning, we're going to be talking about the road ahead. But some of what we've talked about already this month is we started with the road that we're on. Oh, that's fun. I talked a little bit about, I see the idea more clearly in the Psalms, but it's spread out, especially through the Old Testament, but this picture of the fact that our lives are a journey, and throughout that journey, we can be headed towards God, or we could be headed away from God. And in the Psalms, it talks about it a lot. It talks about the way of the righteous, the way that you would be going if you were headed toward God, and the way of the wicked, the way that you would be heading if you were headed away from God. And when we spoke about that, the road that we're on, I talked about a gift that God has given us, the gift of repentance, the ability to turn around, the ability, when you're headed the wrong direction, to realize you're going the wrong direction, and instead of justifying it or dismissing it or, you know, anything that would continue to get you going the wrong direction, not where you want to be heading, turn around. God gives us the ability to realize that it's the wrong way and head the right way. If you want to learn more about that, you can listen to our message from the first Sunday this month. The second message we had was the road we've taken. It might have had a slightly different one, but when I got an extra Sunday, now they all fit a little bit better because I tweaked the titles. But we talked about the road we've taken, and we explored some of our church history. As you can see, we have a wall here. We have some little figurines, little stick people and little babies. This morning, one of my sons said to me, "Why are there adults there?" And I was like, well, some people started coming as adults. Like, I started coming as an adult. And he looked so confused. He just thought everyone just started as babies. so we put up when we started, and we put some highs that we'd experienced here and some lows that we'd experienced here. And the message that week, part of the message that week, was about the gift of redemption. The fact that God can redeem our mistakes or other bad things that have happened, and can use them for the good of those who love him. This morning, we're going to talk about the road ahead. And there is a gift we're going to talk about with this one. I decided to go with another R word because I don't normally do that, but I mean, you may as well. If you had two R words, you should add another one. So this one, we're going to be talking about the gift of regeneration. The fact that God brings new life. And we're going to be talking about the key to this new life that God makes available to us. And that key is Jesus. Years ago, we had a set of cultural values that we had as a church. One of those values was meeting Jesus matters. And that is something I have kept to the top of my mind over the past year when I'm wondering why we do things or something. Meeting Jesus matters. Meeting Jesus matters. Meeting Jesus matters. And one of the pillars that this church was built on was wanting to remove all possible obstacles that might appear between someone and their ability to hear the good news about who Jesus is and what he has done, who he could be to them. And the first sticky note that we have up here, the first high note that someone was talking about, they talked about being a part of the drama team, and they said, saw people come to church who had never been to church before. And that was a high of what the whole point of starting the church was. They had wanted to remove those obstacles between people and meeting Jesus. And so it's been important throughout the history of our church to introduce people to Jesus because we've known the difference that he makes. I didn't touch it. In the past couple of months, we've talked about what it means to be the people of God. And we've touched on messages that the prophets gave the people of God throughout the Old Testament. And they were messages of encouragement, that God would give them a new heart and a new spirit and a new leader, a new king, so that they would be able to be alive to God instead of to their own self-serving desires. And now we consider these prophecies to be fulfilled through Jesus. This morning, I will read a passage from the book of John, which records a conversation between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus. And because I'll be reading from up there, I can fix our little wall. Oh, maybe, if I don't mess the sound up. Okay. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus can change our lives. So we say that meeting Jesus matters. And I've thought of it frequently over the past year, like I've said. But as I've thought about some of these high and low points, I can see how the very thing that has been one of our greatest strengths, wanting to be, to quote the Apostle Paul, all things to all people, to introduce them to the good news, has sometimes been our downfall. We've sometimes allowed the desire to attract people to God to overpower our own pursuit of God. We say that our mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And we've said this is our mission, but sometimes we've failed to grow in our relationship with him as a group, as a people. This past week, I was reading a book that was a collection of essays on the church and missions, and one of the writers, Neil Cole, wrote about how people outside of the church look at the church, and what they tend to see is buildings and programs. And he then says, the world is not impressed. In response to their not being impressed, we scheme and plot and plan. What can we do to make our church more appealing to the people in our community? This, once again, is the wrong question. A better question is, where is Jesus seen at work in our midst? Where do we see lives changing and communities transforming simply by the power of the gospel? As I've pondered this, I've realized that meeting Jesus matters might be better articulated as following Jesus matters. Embracing the new life that Jesus makes possible, living according to his teachings, and living according to God's kingdom, and not our own. That matters. So many churches have failed so miserably at this that Christians have gained reputations, not of being Christ-like, but of being hypocritical bigots who are a danger to be around children. That is horrific. Following Jesus means accepting the new life he offers us and emulating the life of humility and service that he lived and following his teachings. When Jesus was asked what the most important commandment was, he said the following: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love God, love neighbor as self. It's so counter to our selfish world, where we can so easily get wrapped up in our own little experiences. Because of the pandemic, our church, I think many places, felt very disconnected from each other. And because of some of the drifting we've had as a church, knowing that something is important, but not making or knowing how to make it a priority when we are together, as a church, not necessarily individual, I'm not saying individually we didn't know how to do some of these things, but just as a community, I think in some ways we started feeling disconnected from God and our extended community here in Brandon. So, about 8 months ago, our board got together for a day of prayer and repentance and pursuing what God had for us. And we came up with this vision of what we would be like, what it would look like if we were pursuing what God was asking us to pursue at that time. And we came up with this: that we'd be a community that was pursuing connection with God, with each other, not just here, but also other believers in our city, and then connection with Westman and beyond. And we have been pursuing that since we came over there. We're like, okay, how do we get closer to this as a group and as individuals? What I find very interesting about this vision, you would think that maybe we were looking at what Jesus had said about the greatest commandments, but it really was just us looking at where we were and what we thought God was calling us to, and that is very similar to what Jesus said were the greatest commandments. So this is about being followers of Jesus, pursuing the way that he said we should live life. Dallas Willard, who has written many books on discipleship, says that discipleship, that's being a Jesus follower, is being a disciple. Discipleship is learning from Jesus how to live like Jesus. And there's a man by the name of Mike Breen who also wrote a book on discipleship, and he uses a passage in Luke 6 to reveal a pattern in the way that Jesus lived. And he points out that Jesus spent time with God, he spent time with a small circle, and he ministered to the community. I'll just read a couple of the points. from Luke 6. No, I don't have it up there. That's why. Okay. So in Luke 6, verse 12, it starts by saying, "One day soon afterward, Jesus went up to a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. If you would like all their names, they are there, but I will not read them all to you right now." And then after that, it says, "When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone." So we're going to take this pattern and we're going to explore it a little bit more. Because in this small passage, it reveals three things that Jesus pursued, three things that he did intentionally, that if we are going to be his followers, we should do as well. The first is pursue. Oh, it doesn't show the writing. Okay, there's three directions. I'm going to ignore that for a second and go on with my points, because I'm not sure where the picture came from. So the first, you know what, I will go to the picture. Ali, if you could go to that picture with the arrows. It doesn't have the words, but it'll work. So the first thing that Jesus did was he spent time with God. And for us, that means pursuing relationship with God. So in that verse 12, it says, "One day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night." He sought God's face. And there are many times that we read about Jesus praying. He spoke with the Father. He listened to the Father. He engaged regularly in worship and praise on his own, and he went to the synagogue and to the temple. And in Acts, we see the apostles in the early church doing the same things wherever they went. They sought a relationship with God. They were connected to him. And as well, his followers now, we are to be connected to God as well. In John 15:5, it records Jesus saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are going to produce fruit, if you are going to be my people, you need to be connected to me." And he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So often, we get this idea of what we should be, and then we just run off without God. And the fruit that we may develop, it's not what he was wanting. Being connected to God is integral to all that we do. It is the point. We know that the world is broken. It is not a secret. We see pain and suffering everywhere. And connecting to God, loving God, is part of the regeneration, the life-giving gift that Jesus gives us, so that we can be in relationship with God, but it's also the source of the rest of the life-givingness, the thing that changes our life, the thing that enables and empowers us to do the rest of what we do. And so, like Jesus, we want to pursue relationship with God, but we also want to pursue relationship with each other. Jesus had a close group of disciples that he lived and traveled with and taught, teaching them how to work in the world. He spent time very intentional with a small group. He invested, though he spoke to many, he invested in a limited number of people so that they would have a greater impact. And at the same time, he showed them how to live as well. He let them in and he took them with him. They knew one another, they served one another, they loved one another. They did life together. And then we see the same kind of thing that they did after he ascended, after he was gone. We see it in the description of the Jerusalem church, and we see it in the way that Paul writes when he talks to all of the early churches. As we learn from how those early churches operated and the advice that Paul gave them, we learn about being a body. and how and why we are to love other believers. So we learn all that from the way that they lived, but certainly not, it's last that I'm mentioning, but it's certainly not the least on the subject. Jesus prayed that his followers would be united as he and God are united. That's a high level of unity. And so as Jesus did, we want to pursue that. And third, we want to pursue relationship with community. Jesus met the needs that he saw in the world. He met them with God's love, grace, and power. He often took his disciples with him as he was doing so, and he healed the sick, he touched the lepers, he fed hungry, he opened blind eyes and deaf ears, and he also proclaimed the kingdom of God, inviting people to turn from their old ways and toward new life. In the book of Acts, the followers of Jesus did the very same things that Jesus had been doing. They had learned from him how to live, minister, and serve as he did, and they passed it on. For the road ahead, our church wants to have Jesus as our compass. We want him to be our guide around what we are going to build. And part of the way that we want to allow him to be our compass, or our North Star, our guidance, is to follow this kind of rhythm. Some people call it an up, in, and out rhythm. And you can find, once you start looking for it, you can find this rhythm in a lot of things that are trying to teach people how to follow Jesus. Our kids ministry that we've just started, it actually has 4 points that it tries to hit on every month with the children, and it teaches them about having a relationship with God. It teaches them about connecting with each other. It teaches them about using their gifts. And it teaches them about sharing their story. And then our services, for the past little while, we have also been trying to follow this kind of rhythm so that when we gather together, we have a Sunday where we are focused on our relationship with God. We have the usual things. We have our worship and a message, but we also make sure that the message is talking about our relationship with God, and then we also celebrate communion together because we want to focus on pursuing him. Make sure that we have intentional time set apart to do that. And then the second week, we're trying to focus on speaking or having a service that is about our relationship with each other, not just our relationship here, but just with other believers. And then the third Sunday, I don't know if you've noticed a pattern, but we've been generally having a guest speaker from our community on the third Sunday because we've been wanting to hear and connect with our community. But it can't just be about what we're doing on Sunday. We also want to invite everyone to be considering how your life rhythm might fit into these. Much like someone who is going to the gym is advised to make sure they work out different parts of the body, do your arms, don't forget leg day. If we are trying to become like Christ, it can be very easy for certain things, based on our experience, based on our passions, there's certain things that stand out more to us, and we might focus on them more. I was talking to one of the personal trainers that is at the GSH on base. She was talking about training people, a bunch of people that had come in for a basic training. She was talking about the guys that all went, and they just naturally gravitated toward the dumbbells, and they were all working their biceps. And she was like, why do they do this every time? Sometimes there's things that we just naturally gravitate towards. But when we look at the life of Jesus, he didn't pursue one element. He pursued a relationship with God. He pursued a relationship with a group of believers that they could live life with, they could grow with together. And then he also served the world. And we want to do the same thing. So I'm not sure how you might want to pursue this. I know some churches, they actually just, everyone follows the same rhythm. The first week of the month, even the small groups, even their staff stuff, they're all like, you know what, we are going to be checking in with our relationship with God. We are going to pursue this. The second week, they make sure they are connecting with other believers. The third week, they make sure that they are focusing on the community. And you could do that. But as a person who really struggles with routine in my own life, I also want to suggest openness. Maybe it's every day. Maybe you want to wake up in the morning and you want to have an hour every day that you spend praying or reading the Bible and just focusing on God. And then you want to make sure that you're fitting in a coffee or a text message or a phone call with another believer. And then maybe you're going to have someone over for supper. That, like, don't restrict yourself. But don't restrict yourself. Let's pursue all of these elements. Let's pursue God. Let's pursue relationship with each other. And let's pursue serving our community. We were made to be in whole relationship with God and with others. Jesus is the way to regeneration, to life. What we do here on a Sunday, what we do together, it's not about what we are trying to accomplish. It's about who we are becoming, personally and collectively. Are we being changed by following Jesus? Is our culture one of loving God and loving others as ourselves? It's so easy to get caught up in what we think that we are building here or should be building here, a building, a service, programs, that we can very easily neglect who we are becoming, our identity. And we want to be followers of Jesus. I'm going to end with one more quote. It's from this other essay that I quoted earlier about it not being about the programs, it's not about attracting people, it's about Jesus. And he says this. It's Neil Cole, is his name. The presence of Jesus is crucial to what church is. His presence is life. His absence is death. He is the most essential portion of who and what we are. He should be the most important thing about us and the most recognizable aspect that the world sees. In many of the churches in the West, ministry is done for Jesus, but not by Jesus. And therein lies a big difference. If we evaluated our churches not by attendance or buildings, but by how recognizable Jesus is in our midst, our influence would be more far-reaching, and our strategies would be far more dynamic. As we end this morning, I would like us to have a prayer. As we go this week, I would like us to have a prayer. Lord, give us life. May we have true life. May we have the life that Jesus enabled and the life that he modeled. I will close with a blessing. As you go this week, may you see Jesus everywhere. May you see him in your own life, and may you see him in the ways that he transforms you as you open yourself up to him. But may you see him in the world as well. May you see him in the needs and the hopes and in everything. May he permeate our lives and our work. Amen. Have a good week, everybody.